Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
With the first pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Caleb Williams, quarterback, Southern California.
It took a lot of sacrifice, love, care for one, the game of football, my teammates, my coaches, and my family.
The Chicago Bears select Rome Odunze, wide receiver, Washington.
Do you know who holds the Bears franchise record for receiving yards?
Brandon Marshall.
It is actually someone named Johnny Morris.
How many does he got?
He's got 5,059 yards.
In a career?
With the 75th pick, the Chicago Bears select Karan Amagaji, tackle out of Yale.
I'm here. Rome's here. Keenan Allen, you know, top five defense that we had last year. We're here.
It's time for the Mully and Haw Draft Special with Mully, David Haw, and featuring Patrick Manley on your Bears Draft Headquarters, Sports Radio 670 The Score, and Odyssey Sports Station. Draft coverage on The Score is presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome to the Mully and Haw Show, a special NFL Draft Edition. This is a historic week for the Chicago Bears, and we are going to reflect that. We're working overtime with Mully and I and Patrick Manley, the 1998 sixth-round draft pick of the Chicago Bears, joining us for a couple hours. We're going to be here till noon inside the clubhouse. We'll be back next week. But, Patrick, we have a lot to discuss. The Bears had a historic first round. They won the first round. And then they topped that off with a third-round pick last night. Karan Amagaji, Hinsdale Central product, Yale guy. We brought in a Duke guy to talk about a Yaley because we needed the intelligence. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited. I talked about it in the draft show that, you know, last couple of years that me, Mully, and Olin have done, that it's just been kind of a drag because you're trying to find ways for the Bears to win games. And I think this draft, they found guys to help them win games, and I'm excited to see this team in the future, and I love hearing what the players are saying, that they're ready to go and they're confident. They've got to go out there and put it together, but now when you take a depth chart and you compare it to another team's depth chart, I really think the Bears can compete, and I think going 7-10 last year, we've got high expectations this year, and I'm looking forward to that.
We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. We will be here till noon. Set up what we're going to do on the show. 9:25, we're going to talk to Bruce Feldman, senior writer and national college football insider for The Athletic. He has written about Rome Odunze and Caleb Williams. 10:40, our guy, Mark Grody, he was at Hallis Hall. He's going to be there again today for the finale of the draft. And 11:30, our coach, Dave Wannstedt, will tell us what he thinks about what the Bears have been able to do and what this means, because we're sitting here in April, and when you win the offseason, it means nothing to the record. But we're sitting here in April, and Patrick, you just said it. When you start to look at those depth charts and you start to compare them to the teams that you're going to play, how many times have you looked at the depth chart and you felt good about the defense, maybe felt good about the running game, but then you looked at the most important position and you knew you were always going to fall short?
Sure.
The beauty of Thursday night, the beauty of this offseason that begins now, officially, unofficially, is that you look at the quarterback position and you always feel like you're going to have a chance.
Yeah.
You always feel like this is somewhere, maybe one of those spots where you're going to have an advantage even.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
You're going to win because of. You know, that's what I see can potentially happen. And I've talked about it in the past that I want a top seven quarterback. I feel if you have a top seven quarterback in the NFL, when you line up in August and you go to training camp, you feel like you have a chance to make the playoffs every year. That's that important of a position. And they potentially have that now, and hopefully he is that, being the number one pick and the way he's been scouted. But when you have that as a team as well and as a player, you look at that guy and you're like, man, we're going to win a lot of games because of him. And I think that's where they stand right now.
How do you feel about the easy confidence that we've identified as easy confidence?
Mm-hmm.
As an old guard guy, you know, back in the day.
Right. I started doing that now.
You're one of those guys.
I am.
But you're from a big part of the last time the Bears were any good, mm-hmm. and had a right to maybe judge and say these kinds of things. Where are you with that balance that Caleb Williams is going to have to strike with being that leader and using that confidence to his advantage without overstepping and remembering that humility can be his best friend?
I think he's already on that path, David. I mean, you listen to him talk in all his interviews and the way he – you know, just responds to everybody, jumped in on Rome's Zoom call during draft day. Just seems like he likes to integrate himself with his teammates, flying his O-line out for the Heisman Trophy presentation. I'm a big believer that, you know, the quarterback needs to be best friends with all his O-linemen. And I've seen some quarterbacks here in Chicago that have not been that way. And I think he is that way. But I just think he's going to come in and he's going to work. He's going to show his skill set. I don't know how loud he'll be. I hope he's not too loud right away. But just come in there and let that arm and talent show off, and then just integrate yourself with all the people in the building, from Tony Medlin to the trainers to everybody, and then become that leader. Take your time a little bit. Just don't come in right away and, you know, announcing yourself with authority. Just come in and show it with your play first.
One of the early good signs, and there have been many, was that while the Bears were talking to the Bears media last night, Karan Amagaji, the third-round pick from Yale, the left tackle, maybe he'll play guard, the Hinsdale Central product. He was telling a story about growing up a Bears fan. Devin Hester's name has come up a lot. But, Mully, did you hear him say that while he was talking about the reaction from, he had 35 Yale friends that came for the party, that 100 people at a golf club in Hinsdale, and he said, yeah, Caleb just texted me. That stuff goes a right. long way. 100%. He's already assuming the fact and walking around Hallis Hall like he owns the place, which can be a great thing, and you want the quarterback involved in every relationship because he is, we talked about it, the de facto CEO. Everybody kind of works for him. He's the boss.
He's the guy that's going to beat the Packers at long last. They got a guy Amen. In here, and you're right. This is his team. It started out with kind of this, well, do we like him? What kind of person is he? Now it's him. He is the face of the organization. He's the CEO. He's the guy that welcomes you to Chicago now. He's going to be the guy when all the Chicago stars are on Twitter welcoming Caleb. He's going to be the next guy. He's going to be welcoming Macklin Celebrini or whomever is next up with the NHL draft, I guess, would be next.
Yeah, he is the guy that now has, I felt like already you saw, he was in command.
Yeah.
This is not a rookie that's going to be phased by the moment. It bears repeating that he is the NIL era mm-hmm. first quarterback to really come into the league, a professional athlete who has dealt with some of these things. And, you know, when he's on the Dr. Pepper commercials, these are things. He's a familiar face, and he's got a familiar kind of presence about him that makes him feel like nothing is going to phase him, which is great. In these settings, even better, fourth quarter, down 10,
well, that's it.
Six
that's
minutes
what,
to go.
That's what they uh-huh. that's what they drafted.
Poise.
That's what they're looking at. They're
Poise.
Looking at someone that can finish a game. That's what was missing. And they drafted touchdowns. They drafted points. That's the whole point of this exercise. They've got themselves both. Think about how better the receiving core is from a year ago. And hopefully the quarterback is making plays at the end of game.
Yeah, you're 100% right. It's you know, most of these games come down to the fourth quarter and the two-minute drill.
Yeah.
And this guy seems like he's the one that can get it done. And that's what we've been lacking here for a long time. And, you know, like you said, they drafted offense, which was kind of fun to see finally. You know, Ryan Poles has come in and said he's had a vision and he's going to rebuild this thing. And we're truly seeing his vision now, that it's very similar to what he was a part of in Kansas City, and he's doing that here. And it's nice to see that it's going to be an offensive football team.
It does appear that way. And I wonder, look, everybody in Chicago, we would be having this kind of reaction, I think, to them just drafting Caleb Williams. And if they had gone 9 for a defensive player or an offensive lineman, it still would have been a very special historic weekend. I wonder if that's been kind of amplified, though, because they drafted a wide receiver. And because those two guys seem to be the yin and yang of this rookie class, because they do already seem to have this easy rapport. How much more did Roma Dunze getting drafted 9 make already what was a festive weekend into a down, just an all-out party?
I think it was because he was talked about so much. To me, that was the one player that everybody wanted. They understood that Marvin Harrison wasn't going to be there. Malik right. Nabers probably wasn't going to be there. So I think the buildup of Roma Dunze was over time. And then when it finally happened and his name was called and it fell into the Bears' lap, I think that was part of it as well. And obviously his skill set is great, but I think just the buildup of him and Caleb being matched together was the biggest reason why I think it became kind of the story it was on Thursday night.
Yeah, I mean, they worked out together in L.A. Coincidentally, they were on the same flight to Detroit. It felt fated. Mm-hmm. It felt like this was bound to happen and this should happen and they should be here together. The idea that Odunze was sitting there waiting for you, I mean, that's just beautiful. And another draft, he could be the first guy
he
gone.
Could. You're right. Yep. And I used the word serendipitous yesterday, but it does seem that way. Yep. And I just wonder, when you have, Patrick, you've been around the dynamic of, you know, the last time the Bears, before they drafted Odunze, two wide receivers this dynamic, Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall. Mm-hmm. And then you have to go back a ways before you even find anybody even close to that. You know the mentality from observing of DJ Moore, the consummate pro. Keenan Allen, good by reputation. But you also know the type because you've been around enough NFL locker rooms. How do you think view Roma Dunze's arrival and what that means to their numbers, what that means to their, you know, status in that locker room on the depth chart? Because are they who's the guy that gets the ball when you need a score and a touchdown?
That's a great question. But I think the NFL's changed now with just the amount of plays that are run. You know, all the passing yards are higher. But all the receivers I've been around, they all have egos. That's just a position that has an ego. It's like a cornerback. They have egos. They want the ball. They want touchdowns. Brandon Marshall was very loud about that if he didn't get the ball. And these guys don't seem that way, which is nice. And hopefully, you know, Keenan Allen being the pro that he is and DJ Moore being the pro that he is, they can groom Rome and they can work together and realize that maybe this game I'm not going to touch the ball a lot, you know, but they're going to get their numbers at the end if Caleb is going to be as great as he is. So I think that is an issue. I just think there are egos, but if their ultimate goal and their true pros is winning, then it'll work itself out.
Pat, I've been wondering, I've been waiting to ask you this question. So Caleb Williams shows up with $10 million in the bank, right? They always say, or at least Jerry Angelo, one of his favorite draftisms was, the guys get two things when they wind up in the NFL. They get time and money that they never had in college. Well, I mean, I don't know about the time. I don't know how much free time is available for quarterbacks. But the money is not new. Mm-hmm. These guys already know. You know, I was talking to a scout about the process now. You want to know, what are you doing with your money? Are you investing it? Who's running your – because – you've got money for the first time in your life.
It's another data point.
Yep.
It's another data point.
For pre-draft evaluation.
And how are you handling the idea? Are you spending it as fast as coming in because you figure it's coming forever? That's not a good sign. But this is a guy that seems pretty mature and already has that element taken care of. So what? How different was it? What is it? We all got a job for the first time and started making money for the first time. But we're talking like serious money in the NFL.
Yeah, I think he has a great support system, and I do. I think he's already a pro, you know, with the way he's handled his money, the spotlight he's been in. And I made the analogy, and it might be a little too far-fetched, but I kind of equate him to Tiger Woods. When Tiger came out, he was already groomed. He was already known. Everybody knew everything about him, and then all of a sudden he became a pro. He said, hello, world, and he went on to have this great career. I'm not saying that he is Tiger Woods into that level. I hope he is. But I feel like he's been groomed this way his entire life, the same way Tiger was as a kid.
Right.
And had the spotlight as a kid, Tiger did, and Caleb did. And then now he's you know, at the big boys table. Well, and he's ready to go.
We've used the word transformational, mm-hmm. and that's talking about the Bears franchise. So if you use the word transformational about a charter NFL franchise, I don't think that you are exaggerating that. Mm-hmm. I don't think it sounds like hyperbole. And I do think that it lends itself to another kind of conversation we have never really had in Chicago post 85 Bears here, because Walter Payton was that guy. Michael Jordan was the mm-hmm. was next. When was the last Bears player to really be a star NFL quarterback?
I mean, I think
never.
Let's say this: when Cutler came here,
yes,
right away,
he
and
was
then
supposed
it,
to be
when Jay he when Cutler, he came here, then it went away.
But that was a very provincial thing.
Just
talking about Jay Cutler was never going to be the best quarterback in the NFL, or arguably
true,
in the
true.
Top.
Okay, I see where
three
you're going.
Or five.
Yeah, gotcha.
But
he was the best quarterback for the in Bears history.
Absolutely,
you know what
yes.
I mean?
Absolutely.
As a 26-year-old Pro Bowl, when he showed up, you thought, oh, my God.
No doubt about it.
And then you find out.
I'll tell you this, guys.
My point is this. You use Tiger Woods. You invoke Tiger mm-hmm. Woods. When you invoke Michael Jordan here, you wonder what it would be like for the Chicago Bears in this city with this market.
To have a player.
Have a player like that. Football Jordan.
Mahomes.
Oh.
Patrick Mahomes.
It would be awesome.
These are the comparisons football-wise these everyone is making. So while we consider all that is possible, because everything is today.
It's a great point, because you're talking about expectations on this.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think, to Pat's point, he's been under expectations his whole life.
Yep.
You know, in high school, he was a big high school star. He started as a freshman. He goes to Oklahoma Football Factory. He's got all these expectations. He transfers to USC. Part of what we saw last year was a failure to meet the expectation, whether it was the lineman graduate, whatever the circumstance was. He didn't win in the fashion in which he thought he should, and his disappointment was palpable.
Definitely. And it crossed my mind just yesterday, watching him ease his way through interview gaggle from interview gaggle. He was Bears media. He was in Detroit. Then all of a sudden, he was behind on Instagram with the Bears media team, social media team. Then, oh, look, he's on NFL Network holding his own in whatever context, comfortable in his own skin. He's a superstar in the making.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's got a lot of ground to cover. He's got to do it on the field. But the point would be, you win in Chicago, you become the best at that position in a Bears market. You are unlike anything we've ever experienced here. And the closest thing would be Michael Jordan, because he won 6 titles and he was the best player ever. That's what Caleb Williams is capable of considering this morning.
I think that's his plan, right? So more to the equation of him and Tiger Woods, that Earl Woods had a plan for Tiger. You know, he had mm-hmm. him set up and thought, you know, we're going to do this. We're going to win amateurs. We're going to, you know, take this step. And same thing, it seems like, with Caleb Williams, that his father and him have had a plan to get to this level and then be ready to go, which I think is – and I mentioned this the other night. I think it's great, but here's the deal. Once you get to this level, if you don't have the love of the game, the true love of the game, it's not going to work out. You know, you've got to love the whole process of failure and all that kind of stuff.
Were you saying that from experience, or because you doubted him? Or do you question?
I'm not doubting him. I'm just saying what I've seen of guys in locker rooms that I've played with.
Okay.
You know, they make it, and they're like, hey, I made it. You know, and they're unbelievably talented, but they don't like the grind. They don't like all that. You've got to love it.
He's been doing it, though, his whole life.
I know. I'm not saying he won't. I'm not saying he won't. But I
understand. But that is almost the least of my worries. I don't feel like he's the type of guy that's going to get here and say, like,
right.
Oh, I hit the finish line.
I don't either.
I think his expectations for himself are so high.
His personal mission statement, since he was probably 10 years old,
right,
was to be an NFL quarterback. But since he was a teenager, knowing how special he was to be football Jordan.
Yes.
Was to be the guy in the game that changed it. That left his own mark. And I think that's what makes you feel like, when you see all these interviews, you're just like, wow, we are in for some quite a ride, no matter how long this lasts.
Yeah, it's a great point, David, because even look at Jordan. It took a while to start winning.
How many coaches?
It took a changeover of the team. It took a lot of different things to get to a point. And once he got there, you felt like, well, he's going to win. I think Pat Riley said that. He's going to win as long as he wants. That is the level that he hit. But you have to work your way to that end. And as you say, there's going to be all sorts of things that will go awry. There'll be bad moments. Mm-hmm. And it's all overcoming that stuff to get to the good bit.
So the Bears get a wide receiver. They get the franchise quarterback. They get an offensive tackle slash guard in the third round. They have one pick scheduled today. So we'll be off the air by the time they get their punter.
There you go.
Yes.
Is that kid from Iowa still alive?
I think he is.
I believe he's there. Let's go.
Molly, I've been listening to you, and I hear you pulling for a punter. I've got your back.
Don't
obviously,
you?
I've got your back.
Did I make that up? Or
don't tell
that
Trenton Gill, but I've got your back.
That's just, something
get
that
a punter.
Would help.
That here's, would just make this draft even better.
And here's another thing. I know they're not going to need to punt, but this kid, if you watch this kid from Iowa, I think he may come in and change the way people kick off. I think he may have the ability to do some weird thing with the ball as a kickoff guy on the new rules that could change the NFL. What do you think?
I like it. I like it. It's funny you say that because Olin went out there. I think Illinois played Iowa last year, and he texted me from – he's like, have you seen this Iowa kid? I'm like, no. But that even impressed Olin,
awesome.
Who doesn't care about kickers.
No,
so that says a lot.
Olin doesn't want a punter.
I concede, so if they draft him today, I will be happy. How come they never draft any long snappers anymore?
There might be one in the late rounds.
Will there be? Mm-hmm. Will he go higher than the sixth-round draft pick of the 1998 NFL draft, the 189th pick overall? Will he go higher than you did, Patrick Manley?
They could. I don't think this year it's weird because I don't want to get too deep into long snappers, but you know, once you're on a team, you get to stick for a while, and it doesn't seem like there's that many openings this year.
Do you know who they picked? The Bears picked you in front of?
Two
guys who went after you?
Matt Hasselbeck was near me, I believe.
He was two picks ahead of you.
Okay, and that's it. That's all I know.
Aaron Taylor and David Terrell.
David Terrell.
Not but that David Terrell.
Aaron Taylor, the center from Nebraska, and David Terrell, the safety from Utah.
Okay. Yes.
Pat, you are the Tom Brady of long snappers. You were a later round pick, and you became the best at what you did. Man. It's true.
Listen, if you're going
to
compare
Caleb
Williams.
Let's get back to talking about Caleb.
If you're going to compare him to Tiger Woods, we're going to compare you to Tom Brady.
Oh, all right, I'll take it then.
Sixth-round pick made good.
All right.
Hopefully my wife's listening.
That's great. That is outstanding. This is our NFL draft special. We should let you know draft coverage on The Score is presented by Chevy Drive Chicago and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. We're going to talk to Bruce Feldman next. We get a chance to get his take on this. He's been covering the draft for The Athletic, and he's been writing about the Bears and what they're – listen, the Bears, you want to pick winners and losers. They're a winner because they got two top 10 picks. The rest of it is kind of – you're filling out a roster. I like the pick last night. Yep.
Yeah, I like the pick last night. And Bruce Feldman also has done deep dives into Rome Odunze and Caleb Williams, so his perspective will be a welcome one.
Surely he knows the punter. It's the NFL Draft Show on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's the reason to duck? It's here. You know, there's no reason to duck. I'm here. Rome's here. Keenan Allen, you know, top five defense that we had last year. with special teams, all the new roles, whatever. You know, it's we're here. So I'm excited. I know everybody's excited. The Bear fans are excited from what I've heard and seen. And there's no reason to duck, you know. Attack it, you know, head first and go get it.
Our live draft coverage continues on 670 The Score, presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Oh, yes, indeed. It's the NFL Draft Special. We've got the great Patrick Manley here, Mully and Haw taking over. And got to tell you, good to hear from Caleb Williams, like everything I'm hearing from him. And we just heard that comment. We are delighted to welcome in Bruce Feldman, senior writer, National College Football Insider for The Athletic. He does sideline reporting for Fox College Football as well. And he joins us now on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. Bruce, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Great to be on with you guys this morning.
Well, the Bears feel pretty good. They got a new quarterback. They got a new receiver. And I get it. They don't have a ton of picks, but they used a lot of them to make their team better already.
Yeah, look, I think it's in this case, it's absolutely quality is going to trump quantity. I mean, you get a super talented young quarterback, and I love Roma Dunze. I mean, he is one of the two guys that when I came out of the combine from talking to people and talking to people who've been around Rome a lot, who said he's probably, along with Marvin Harrison Jr., the two guys who you think would be the most closest thing you could say to a sure thing. And you add him to Keenan Allen, who's an elite route runner with DJ Moore, with the juice he brings. You got a really good tight end. That is, if I was a Bears fan, I'd be very excited about the potential of this offense and this team.
Bruce, great work getting down to the details and some of the background stuff you did on Caleb Williams, especially on 2024 NFL Draft Confidential. You heard from a lot of scouts. You talked to a lot of people. In your reporting and based on what you've seen since he's been drafted, because he's been out there a lot and he's welcoming the attention and he certainly can handle it, how do you think that Caleb Williams' personality will fit into an NFL locker room?
I think it'll be good. He's a bright kid. He's been exposed to a ton. And I think what we got to keep in mind is he's really the first NIL transfer quarterback star. And when I say star, I'm putting it in all caps because he did it in a major media market in LA. And there was a lot of attention around him. I think the challenges for him are going to be everything right now is great because there's a lot of buzz and there should be a lot of buzz. It's, as you guys know, it's that grind of all the time of playing that position. And, you know, we did a story on The Athletic the other day about just the things that are also critical to a young quarterback's development. And the guy he's most compared to is Patrick Mahomes, which is obviously high praise considering all that Patrick's already done. And there's some play style comparisons, no doubt. What Patrick really also had going for him was he walked into a situation where he did not have to be the franchise. Alex Smith, who had been the first pick of the draft himself and is a proven, you know, played a ton, been through the ups and downs. He could be around him and observe it for a year. And then he obviously had Andy Reid, who's the best at, you know, the best offensive mind probably in football right now. So those are all really good things. Now, Caleb has a lot of really good things with him, but I think the challenges are going to be, you know, like it's, you have to grind and keep staying on things. And I think if he can do that, I think he has a chance to be really, really good. It's just, there's obviously, as you know, a ton of pressure that comes with it. And we see a lot of guys who, I don't want to say are similar, but they struggle with it. And some of the questions, you do hear a little bit of concern about, okay, just how well will he handle it? USC was a weird situation. I mean, things got off the rails and that wasn't a Caleb thing. I just think you had a bad offensive line this year for the Trojans. You had a bad defense. And I think a vibe of like, he has to be Superman and to save us. And I'm not saying he said that. I don't think he, you know, but I think that was the thing where I had an old NFL scout tell me, it's like he's trying to hit a five-run home run every time. And I think those kinds of things are hard. And when you're being asked to be the savior, if you're perceived to be it, I think that comes with some of that. And there was definitely multiple NFL coaches and scouts who were like, you know, you do feel a little bit of a Russell Wilson kind of vibe here. Now, look, Russell Wilson won a Super Bowl and had a terrific career. That's not a knock, but I think, again, I go back to this thing where he's been raised in a spotlight in a different way than most elite quarterback recruits were, and the way things played out. I think it's going to be interesting to see how he manages all of it going forward.
Yeah, another, I don't know if it's concern, Bruce, but, you know, so far he's said everything correctly. He's done the right things. He's been talking to teammates and doing all that stuff, and he's been groomed for all this stuff. My question is it genuine? Is it true? Is that really who he is? Because if it's not, that's going to come out in the locker room.
Right. And look, I mean, he said all the right things. It's been 2 days. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not been, you know, and I think there's been draft run-up because obviously it was no secret that he was going to the Bears. I think you'll find out those things more when real adversity hits and, like I said, when it's more of a grind. I think Caleb's really smart. I think he's going to want to do the right thing. I think he's going to, you know, there's a lot of stuff he's – I think there's one – it's one thing to be groomed for certain things because I think a lot of it in theory can work great. And then it's just when you're in the middle of it, I don't know – you know, there's very few people who have lived part of that. You know, and you talk to quarterbacks and quarterback coaches in the NFL who have been in the middle of it. And it's like, again, the story we did this week about it, kind of this one quarterback coach, you know, who's, you know, played in the NFL and kind of lived it, is talking about just the valleys and the highs and lows. And, you know, the one thing that I would say was, you know, came out of it is also like, okay, who else is in the room that he's leaning on? You have one guy who was an undrafted free agent a year ago, and the other one in Rippon has played some, but it's not like, this isn't like Alex Smith is in the room, who was the first pick of the draft himself and had a long career. And I think it's, you know, you're going to find out who he ultimately leans on, because it's right now everything's great and rosy because there's enthusiasm and everything. Well, you know, only time will tell the other parts of it, to your question, I guess.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine who was a scout, and I was asking him about how he processes information, because that seems to have been the problem with the last couple quarterbacks we've seen here in Chicago. Just how you get rid of the ball, how you process what you're looking at. But he said he wouldn't necessarily consider him a pocket passer, but he said that when he runs, it's more escapability. It's more running to throw than trying to run down the field. Would that be accurate?
That would be. I mean, I think he was going to evade, and, you know, he would extend plays. I think the part, and I heard this from, you know, college defensive coordinators who faced him, one of the things that came up was, like, there's a lot of easy throws that he's missing because it's almost like he's looking for the wild play, they felt like. And, you know, it's interesting because some of these same guys faced also Michael Penix Jr. And I'm not saying Michael Penix Jr. should have been the first pick of the draft, but they said there's definitely some things that Penix is a lot cleaner on right now than Caleb is. Now, Penix is older and he's played more college football and he is in a different system, but there is some things where we're like, okay, this he needs to work on. And there's real things where it's like, there's not to say I wouldn't even call them concerns at this stage yet, but there are things that you talk to coaches who have faced them, who game plan for them. And, you know, we had in the mock draft I did, that's basically the exercise I do where I'm talking to all these coaches who've actually gone against the prospects. And there is stuff that needs to be cleaned up. There is stuff that people are like, he's not close to there yet on those kinds of things. Yes, he can get around it, as one of the coaches pointed out to me last week. It's like, he can do some wild things in college, but those are against college guys. Don't try doing that when you're being rushed by Myles Garrett. It's not going to work well. And it's just a different animal there.
Talking with Bruce Feldman, the senior writer and national college football insider for The Athletic and sideline reporter for Fox College Football, here on the Mully and Haw draft special Saturday morning. Bruce, Roma Dunze is just as polished. He seems to have just as much charisma. He's made just as big of an impression early. What makes him, in your mind, ready to make an impact on day one?
Yeah, I would say he's more polished. I would say, you know, like anybody who meets with him raves about Roma Dunze. All right, so that's the intangibles piece. You know, he's physical. He tracks the ball probably better than anybody in this draft and probably anybody who's been, come in the draft in the last few years. I mean, he's sturdy and strong. He makes contested catches. He does not have quite the same explosiveness with the ball in his hands that at least Malik Nabers has, but neither did Marvin Harrison Jr. I mean, these guys, all three of them, I think, were legit top 10 for, you know, picks, could have gone even higher depending on, you know, what your preference was. You know, I think he's going to be phenomenal for them. And just the fact that he's in there now with the other two elite receivers, I mean, Caleb's getting three number ones. And that's, you almost never see that, you know, just to see that kind of talent at the receiver spot. I mean, I think he's going to be fantastic. I mean, the way he tracks the ball is rare. His ability to make contested catches is rare. And honestly, sometimes, and I don't want to say he's going to be like a faster Anquan Boldin, because that's, you know, Anquan Boldin was a great player, but he is, I think, that to me. Anquan Boldin was like always open because he could just take the ball away from people. I think Rome has that. And, you know, I couldn't say enough good things about him. I mean, he went nine, and he and that was probably like, wow, I'm surprised he's still on the board kind of thing. You know, I think he's that good.
How do you think he'll deal with only one football and two other receivers in that in that room of DJ Moore and Keenan Allen? Because it's, I've seen a lot of receivers, and they have egos. They've some of the biggest egos on the team, and they want the ball every time. How do you think he'll deal with that?
Well, I think he'll do really well at that part because he came from what was the best receiving core in the country last year. You know, you got Jalen Polk, Jalen McMillan. They're both really, you know, one of them went second round to the Patriots. I mean, they were really good together. I would have no concerns about character or any of that. I think he will make that receiver room better talent-wise and like character-wise. To me, he's an A-plus draft pick for them.
I got to tell you, I saw Moose Muhammad giving out naming a pick for Carolina or something, and it just froze me because I remember him saying Chicago is where receivers go to die. And I thought, like, now they got three good. That's really more an indictment on quarterbacks than receivers, by the way.
It's a revival.
100%. But, yeah, but Moose was a great run blocker.
But let's hope they all can. Let's hope they can all thrive.
Yeah, I mean, look, it is what you said. It's the quarterback piece. You know, I mean, when you have to, and this is not a knock on Sid Luckman, but when you have to go that far back to talk about it, it's you know, like, and I, somebody who grew up, you know, like watching the great, you know, Ditka Bears, you know, Buddy Ryan team, I'm like, and obviously I know Jim McMahon was a terrific quarterback, but I was like, when people put in context just how many years ago that was, man, you feel old. Right. You know, it is a long, long, long time. And it's circumstance. Like, who knows what situation Justin Fields could go into where he could flourish in the NFL. It's not like he doesn't have some talent. The Trubisky part, I'm less, you know, I don't know what was necessarily going on there. But
neither do we.
Yeah, it's just, he. You know, it's been a crazy drought for, a great football franchise and everything. And they, I feel like, have given Caleb, great support in terms of the talent. For a first pick of the draft to go into what he's walking into just from a roster standpoint now with what they added. And look, you know, I've heard good things about the offensive tackle from Yale, at least talent-wise and traits-wise. You know, people think he's got a lot of potential. He's obviously not going against high-level players in that league. But that's another one that you build on. I really like the offensive tackle they took last year. He's a nasty dude. I mean, people really thought highly of him. So there's a lot of optimism. But I get why Bears fans would be a little bit hesitant given what they've been through.
Bruce, thanks a ton. Great catching up with you. Appreciate your time, buddy.
Great stuff.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.
That is Bruce Feldman, senior writer, college football insider for The Athletic. And, of course, you see him on the sidelines, Fox, when they're doing their
games. Did a great job of kind of summarizing why people are excited, also capturing the personalities of both Odunze and Caleb Williams. And what he said about Odunze being even more polished than a guy who's coming into the league, the most, I think, the biggest star in some time is going to – that's going to resonate.
I got to tell you, Anquan Boldin, you know, was not – that's a guy
I'll take that all day.
Caught everything and grabbed everything out of it. He had vice-like grip, G.I. Joe with kung fu hand. I don't know what the hell he had, but he got – and he pulled away every ball out there.
Another thing, too, him talking about his character, you know Keenan Allen's character, you know D.J. Moore's character. That is huge for Caleb. So at practice – you're not going to have a receiver yelling at the quarterback, throw me the ball, I'm open.
Yeah.
Right.
They might be talking to him, saying, hey, this scheme or whatever, this coverage, I might be open.
Right.
But I've heard receivers yell at the quarterback, I'm open, throw me the ball. And that would be tough on a rookie quarterback.
And don't you get a sense that Caleb Williams, even if he is maybe borderline overconfident, is going to know because he has respect for those guys, because of their status in the league, he's probably not going to be the one shouting either.
No, and those are going to be – those two of DJ and Keenan are going to be great pros to follow. You find somebody in that locker room and
you'll learn a lot.
I want to hang out with this guy and learn how to be a pro.
Yeah.
And those are two good ones.
They've already worked out. They got to practice under their belt.
That's huge.
Unbelievable.
That's
the Players Association know?
That's awesome. That's
really, it is.
I can't believe that happened. And like I said, it's faded. All right. We've got so much more to get to. We're going to break down the entire draft. Want to get Pat's take on the quarterback run. Holy cow. And if that aided the Bears, seemed like it did, like directly in front of them, it seemed like it helped a little bit. We'll talk about it next. It's the Draft Show, breaking it all down for you on a glorious Saturday morning here.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
With the 8th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Michael Penix Jr., quarterback from Washington.
Is that what you were expecting it?
No, I'm just happy it worked out that way.
Our live draft coverage continues on 670 The Score, presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
He looked like he was going to laugh.
They were laughing. They were mocking the Falcons. You can't put it any other way. Patrick, they were so amused by what the Falcons did. I think the rest of us were confused.
There's always one, right? Every draft, there's one you scratch your head, and that was the one. And it was great that it worked out for the Bears that they didn't go pick Rome Odunze.
Remember the year the Vikings didn't have a pick?
Yeah,
right. They missed getting to the board.
There's always something.
Was this that bad? No, but
it was. What did you think?
What did you think?
I shocked a little bit. You know, we talked off air here that you pay Kirk Cousins. You feel like you're ready to win now with him, with their offense and the playmakers they have. And the other thing, Michael Penix Jr. is older. What is he? 24.
Yes.
So if he sits for 2 years, your starter's 26 years old. And I understand contract issues and all that. It's you know, you marriage. Age and contract, so it's still fine money-wise, but I just don't get it.
You could have moved down and gotten them. That's the thing that's kind of weird about it.
They might have been afraid somebody
elsewhere was in love with him.
But the thing is, there were other teams in love with quarterbacks, but at that stage, I don't know that they were going to jump up and take Michael
Penix
Jr. But
wasn't it reported that he did not go on their 30 visit? That they only went to like 45 minutes of his workout or something like that? I believe that was
playing
reported.
Playing at Coy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I saw Terry Fontenot's interview about it, and he just said that he was our guy. He felt that
did help the Bears. That's why it is relevant in Chicago, because Odunze fell to them, and he was still there. But when you look at the Falcons, it just makes you wonder if they're just one of those teams. Last year, they reach for Bijan Robinson. I love Bijan Robinson. Mm-hmm. Wasn't a need. He might be great, but what were they doing?
And they need a receiver.
They need a receiver.
That's why I was holding my breath.
This year, they pass on Bill Belichick. They signed a 35-year-old Kirk Cousins off an Achilles injury, guarantee him $100 million, and then instead of getting him somebody who can help him reach his potential, make that a worthwhile investment, they draft his replacement.
And they were going to get an edge by all accounts, right? A defensive lineman.
He was there.
Because they got Raheem Morris.
They all were there. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, do I feel sorry for Kirk Cousins? I mean, he left there. He went there for $190 million on a four-year deal.
How can you feel sorry for $100 million?
He got 100 guaranteed for 2 years.
But Patrick,
but now they just told him you're on the two-year deal.
Yeah, but he's still a competitor.
Sure.
And he's a professional changing franchises. You're making that choice because you receive some assurances that you were the guy.
Right.
Regardless of what you get paid.
But if he is the guy, then he should win the job and be no problem. And then you just sit there and wait for Penix to take over from later on. I mean, I understand the reasoning and the thought process behind what the Falcons did because it's a quarterback-driven league. We've been sitting here in Chicago for how many years without having a quarterback, and we're so excited about Caleb Williams that,
right.
You know, you look at this run of quarterbacks, half of them are going to fail.
Right.
But everybody's always taking
half
a quarterback.
Half of them are going to be traded for a six-round pick.
Yeah.
Or worse.
Or worse.
Or given away for a draft swap.
Do you know the
half
highest
the salary?
Trevor Lawrence still has his job, but out of that draft class, the highest pick, the Cowboys gave up a fourth rounder for Trey Lance.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's remarkable because of when that trade happened. I just think that if you're Kirk Cousins, you're looking at it, yes, you have guaranteed $100 million, but if I'm thinking, all right, why don't the Falcons draft Roma Dunze?
Right.
Why didn't they introduce him on Friday? Mm-hmm. Instead of, here's Michael Penix Jr. He'll be 30 by the time he's any good.
And they're talking about winning now, the Falcons are, right? So why don't you give him a weapon that's as refined as they say Rome is to put right out there for him? But, hey, thank you, Fontenot.
It's great. Who do you think in the first round among quarterbacks will be, if we're all assuming that Caleb Williams is the most polished NFL-ready product, and I think that he is, who's second to you?
I mean, I'm not an expert on quarterbacks. I'll go by people I've talked to. They love Drake May. I've a lot of former NFL quarterbacks, older guys that I've talked to, they loved Drake May. And they said, one texted me during the draft shows, the Bears made a mistake. I'm telling you, Drake May is the number one guy. So we'll see. I mean, it could be true. It might not be.
He's the traits guy,
right?
He's the guy. Parcells, 6'4", 230.
Mm-hmm. He's Justin Herbert.
He fits everything.
In terms of
and it's painful for me to say because he's a Tar Heel. But no, I just, the people I've talked to, they said, listen, I think this guy's the one. You know, Caleb has all this wow potential and all that kind of stuff, but they just said traits-wise, they think he's the one that can come in and like a Brock Purdy,
like
just
to
run the offense well, just distribute the ball well and do all that kind of
stuff. I feel like, Mullen and I talked about this a lot on Friday, that J.J. McCarthy is going into a ideal situation
great
in Minnesota.
Situation.
You got the receivers that are world-class. You've got a coach who understands how to develop quarterbacks. And
you don't have to play right away because Sam Darnold's there.
The bridge guy is an important guy.
Yeah. No, that's a good one. That scares me, too, just being in the division. That if they hit on that one, like I said, half of these guys aren't going to hit. And he's one going into a situation, like you just said, that he might hit. And it just – this division right now, the NFC North, is really changed.
It's gotten better.
It's one of the top divisions in football.
It's gotten better. Yeah. When we come back, I want to ask you about – I want to hear a Duke's take on a Yaley.
Oh, there we go. He has a great take.
We're
on
the smarter
Yaley.
School. That's my take.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Did you know that Michael McCaskey was a receiver on the Yale football team?
I think I remember that.
Yeah, I did know that.
Just throwing it out.
He wasn't as good as Dick Geron, though.
No, no. And Tim
Fancic.
Weigel was on
True.
That team.
Yep.
Tim Weigel was a great player at Yale. He was a he blocked for Calvin Hill. Is that who?
I think that is.
That's
who that's
it was.
The story, yes.
That's the Yaley to speak of. All right, but we got another Yaley, and we'll speak of him next. It's the Mully and Haw Draft Special. We got Patrick Manley on Chicago Sports Radio 6-7.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.